Hi, everyone. Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters. Welcome to March Master Talk, and I have a very special guest, Dr. David Fletcher, the president, the man himself from CLA. Brock Brasco, the vice president, was supposed to be on tonight, and he fell ill, so Dave has stepped up, as he always does, and has joined us on tonight's call. And tonight is about legitimizing long-term lifetime chiropractic care with technology, particularly with the Insight Subluxation Station. So, Dr. Dave Fletcher, thanks for being on with us tonight.
Mike, this is like old home week. We get a chance to connect up. We've known each other through so much of our lives in chiropractic. So, to be invited to Master Talks has been a real treat. So, thanks for having me.
And you know, the last time, if I remember correctly, we were actually in Queens University in your daughter's dorm doing a master talk. That was years ago, and you probably remember that. We had my cell phone and we're doing a master talk. We had a hoot doing that.
I do recall that. It was one of those surreal experiences. But you know, like you said at the start of this, you do what you do.
Yeah, we make it happen. So thanks for being on tonight, Dave. We've got a number of doctors on tonight. And, you know, there's been a lot of evolution in chiropractic over the years. And one of the things I've been an advocate of is the technology, especially that technology, which originally came out of the CLA family. 1992, I'm sitting at the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa with Pat Gentemple at the time, and we talked about what the future of chiropractic looks like. And we were pretty well 99% congruent. It was going to be cash, subluxation, wellness, family, basically no insurance, and that's what we're seeing. And more importantly, going beyond pain, it was the corrective lifestyle aspect of chiropractic, and we would validate that with technology. And now that you have taken over and done such a great job at and taking CLA and the technology to the next level, let's just really talk about this shift that we're seeing now away from the pain insurance-based model towards a lifestyle approach and validating that with the technology.
Yeah, I think that you're incredibly a student. And listen, you know, I get to stand on the greatness of shoulders. Patrick and Christopher really had some remarkable insights, pardon the pun there, to move this whole idea that you just described there forward. I have the advantage of having worked with them and yourself for 15 to 20 years, and what we know is that what the world really is not interested in is another back therapy. Unfortunately, many of our young graduates are led to believe that the path towards some type of recovery is in rehabilitation. And I'm going to throw out a word, Mike, that I think distinguishes what chiropractic does so perfectly from rehabilitation. It's rehabituation. It's about changing the habits. And when chiropractors begin to recognize that the future is the uniqueness of our ability to change habits that are in the nervous system, then we have a relevance in seeing babies, we have a relevance in seeing families, and we have a relevance of being a profession that no one can touch. And so, you know, when we start to talk about why you would rehabituate somebody, it really comes down to this idea that muscles and joints are critically important. It's how we function in this world, but what drives the system is the necessity to understand if the nervous system is working at its capacity and its optimal capacity. And to do that, we have to shift our perspective away from feeling, which is what the patient wants, to function. And so finally, what we have done. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I agree with you. And you know, I've always said it's all about structure and function and moving away from feeling and pre-framing the patient day one when they come in. This is what we're looking for. And then through the education process.
Yep. And so what we know is that there is this, and we'll call it this critical shift, which is what we teach at CLA, this critical shift at this intersection between neurofunctional states and biomechanical states. And, you know, unfortunately, if you were to take a look at how most chiropractors align their thinking, they take what we refer to as a bone or spine first approach, which means that they sort of adhere to this idea of, you know, in two respects, they say, well, let's make the body move better, feel better that way, and then we'll tell them the whole story. You know, they sort of hold off the story. And that's a bad idea. The second thing that they do is that they adhere to this idea that, you know, bone out pinches nerve causes problem, and that means that once the bone is off the nerve, the problem is gone, and why would anybody stay? So, you know, it becomes these really necessary situations. If you're going to build a practice in today's environment and you're going to be successful at doing it, you have to arm yourself with the right tools. But most importantly, you have to arm yourself with the right attitude and the magic of telling the chiropractic story through the neurofunctional array. And that's what CLA has dedicated itself to doing, is really helping chiropractors shift their perspective from this bone-first approach to this nerve-first approach. Because at the end of the day, Mike, you can be as great as you can at stretching a psoas muscle and by all means helping posture come and restore. But if the patient is still in a very debilitated state because they're subluxated and because their neurofunctional tone is off, you know, they're not going to get anywhere.
I agree. And, you know, one of the arguments I've always said to chiropractors, if we're about the spine and nervous system, you better have an x-ray and you better have something to quantify, you know, neurological integrity and really the stress on the nervous system. And, you know, one of the arguments I get from a lot of the doctors in the pain-based camp, and I get this, well, there's no research. There's nothing to validate, you know, the science behind the insight subluxation station. I put up both hands. I said, whoa, slow down. Hold on. There's a ton of research. I know I've listened to, you know, the CLA tapes over the years, the On Purpose tapes. I've seen the research. I actually spoke about the research. Let's just maybe pull out the gems, Dave, that really validate it. Because a lot of chiropractors, they like that research nugget, something they can hang their hat on that says, here's the John Hopkins research, or here's the research on thermography, the dysautonomia, that we can actually validate this research and this technology.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you started with that. So when we take a look at thermography, the sort of gold standard with thermography is a work that was done by Umatsu with their group of researchers and non-chiropractic, but they come out of John Hopkins. And the Umatsu study quantified that there was an exact range of temperature that the body could manage. And we have to be clear, when we're measuring temperature at a paraspinal basis, we're measuring the relationship of the vasoconstriction and vasodilation phenomena. And so if there is either stretch response or a compression response at a nerve-based spinal level, it changes, if it gets down into the regional autonomics, it changes the ability of vasoconstriction and vasodilation to be symmetrical. And so when Umatsu at John Hopkins started to do thermography and thermal probes at these different levels, they were shocked to find that when they actually found a delta T, and it's different at every level, and that's one of the great things they did was they measured and calibrated every level of the spine, is they said, oh my goodness, and this is just like right out of the good old Merrick charts, is they said, oh my goodness, you know, when the sympathetic dysautonomic response is occurring and they can't maintain temperature at that side, we can literally trace to the ganglia and the postganglionic responses and say, you're right, when that T9 is under stress, the end organ is under stress. And this is not a chiropractor saying that. That's the John Hopkins model. And from that point, Matt McCoy did amazing work at going back in the literature. And, you know, Matt McCoy, the research director from Life College, and he published a paper in 2004, I believe. And no, it was later than that. I think it was 2007. And, you know, one of the things that he did, and this is so classically chiropractic, you know, he took it originally to JMPT and, you know, they missed the opportunity to publish it. He then put it in a public health journal and described the capacity of using thermography and thermal scanning to identify end-stage health issues. It was the most downloaded paper for about 3 months on a public health research site. Yet chiropractic couldn't even buy into it because they just have such narrow-minded perspectives. So, you know, you take a look at a thermography approach, and Mike, it's 25 seconds to run a full spine thermal scan. And to think that you get that much information out of it, and now our system is wireless, which means that you literally can do this in screenings. You can do it with babies, with infants. It has pediatric settings built into it. I mean, it's as cool as it gets. As soon as I took the company over, I had them redesign the entire thermal head so that it was this beautiful, sleek unit that you can get right up on an infant's or a newborn's atlas axis region and really get in there and check them for subluxation.
And that's the great thing that it's so mobile now. I mean, you know, you've got your SEMG leads, you got your thermal. And one thing I love, Dave, that you've done is now with the pulse wave profile, the heart rate variability that you can measure. And, you know, one of the questions I get from a lot of doctors is how do you explain, you know, to a layman heart rate variability with the body's ability to adapt to stressors? So this is a common question I get from a lot of my doctors.
Well, you know, and the great news is that as chiropractors, we're having the conversation regarding HRV. Let me tell you, Mike, HRV has quietly and quickly become the gold standard in all health disciplines in looking at how and whether the patient is in a resilient state and is able to recover, or whether or not they are backsliding. And, you know, this is the story of chiropractic that we've been talking about forever, because the key word when you look at heart rate variability, especially through a chiropractor's eyes, is the word adaptability. And our particular HRV system, and it was designed and calibrated to be used in a chiropractic setting, has a database that it pulls against, and we actually set the database up, and we spotted 2,483 or something scans and did scatter plots on them to determine what I think is the most important thing, Mike, when you take a look at HRV, is that our graph shows a little green box. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's that green box, and you can say with confidence, because this comes from a chiropractic model, the healthy and well people live in the green box. What does that mean? That means that their autonomic nervous system, that total system, the sympathetic and parasympathetic system, is fully charged, which means that it's up on the scale, and it is fully balanced. When they're in the green box, their nervous system is working in balance, and they are fully charged. And when you add those two together, it means that they are at their best maintaining adaptability state. I mean, it's just brilliant. The great news is that it looks at the patient when they're resting. And then you can imagine, Mike, if they're falling out of that green box, then that really should tell the doctor and the patient, look, even when you're at rest, your body is stressing out. And you know, when a stressed out body at rest and it isn't recovering, you know what the next thing is? Risk. Is that they now put themselves in a risk position. Do you want to know what happens, Mike, when they get adjusted? That risk goes away. As much as we refer to the Yamatsu study, we talk to the Zhang study, Z or Z to our Canadian team members here, H-A-N-G. And Zhang is a PhD, and he wrote an MD PhD, and he studied the chiropractic effect on HRV. And they did three studies, and they found not only pre-post adjustment could there be a shift and a raising of the score, but most importantly, they saw that on continual ongoing care, the chiropractic helped rebalance and raise that score. Alone, you didn't have to eat vitamins, you didn't have to do anything. Chiropractic alone pushed people back into the green box.
So just one component of a four-dimensional model, and we're able to make that shift. And what I love now, and this is why it's important, the doctors who don't have a substation, I've been saying get one for years, as the return on investment is exceptionally high, is the biggest challenge we have is that insurance pain-based model, the 10 or 12, you know, PVA that is really just killing chiropractors out there. Now, you know, the AMD's got the blood pressure, and we have the core score, the ability to show a reduction in risk over time, to show better neurological integrity, less nerve stress, and overall changes in one's lifestyle when they're under chiropractic care, regardless of pain. So, you know, Dave, I really want you to touch on the core score as well, because I find that's huge, not only for conversions, but for retention. And, you know, I take it one step further. We do a little gift on the inside when they want to refer friends and family, and this is a great referral tool as well.
It's amazing. And you know, Mike, I have to reach back to you especially. And I know you have many, many clients, but I want to highlight, you know, Dr. Ben, who's over in England. He is our largest Core Score user. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that, yes.
Yeah, and so there, that speaks volumes, not just about CLA, but about how one of the largest practices in the UK, and gosh, maybe even far beyond the UK, has dedicated their communication about chiropractic through the Core Score. So for the folks that aren't aware of what we're talking about, the subluxation station is designed to have three principal scanners. These are biometric scanners that are EMG, which looks at the reaction of gravity on the paraspinal muscles. We have the thermal that we just talked about, and we have the HRV. And the geniuses that I get to work with, who's, you know, Mike, you know, Lee Brody and the rest of the crew, these guys are our top-end engineers that worked out of the Nassau team, and as well as they're from Harvard and Boston U. And what they were able to do was they were able to find this common denominator, which is referred to as efficiencies. It's not referred to, but it's the efficiencies. And they were able to take chiropractic-centric data and understand against these normative databases whether or not the HRV was working efficiently to what degree, whether or not the EMG was working efficiently to what degree, and the same with the thermal. And they took those efficiencies and put them all together to form this beautiful, referenced, validated score that represents whether a patient is, now are you ready for this, becoming more neurologically efficient. Kind of sounds something like Spock would say, oh, good, you know, because what we like to talk about is, hey, how do you feel? Really, but what really matters is whether or not the nervous system is performing at an efficient state. Because, Mike, when it's performing efficiently and you see the Core Score raise, four things are guaranteed. Guaranteed. Because it's talking about a higher efficient nervous system centrally. Number one, reduced inflammatory response. Okay. Number two, increased metabolism. Number three, increased immunity. And number four, greater clarity of thought. Are you ready for that? We're starting to see when you have HRV that rises in conjunction with the others that the people describe their state of health and well-being and their state of creative thought as being vastly improved. Now,
and that's huge. That's huge.
It's massive. It's massive. There are so many studies that show that when HRV increases, then we can literally discuss the idea that their bodies and their minds are starting to go through a quantum shift. And, you know, we started, and, you know, get me going on this stuff and I can go for hours, but let's bring it back to the practical. You know, I've been a CLA client long before I owned the company. And, you know, my practice, which is in the suburb of Toronto, I've had a PVA for close to 20 years, and I still practice, and it kind of hovers about 135. They basically either die or they move before they leave chiropractic. And the problem is that most chiropractors don't have that. You see, every chiropractor, and what do you do when your PVA gets too high? You hire associates. Because what we know is that people who understand their relationship with chiropractic begins with pain. It almost always does. Hey, I hurt here and whatever else. But as soon as you make that critical shift to show them that it's gone beyond the muscles and joints of the spine and is now tripping switches in their control systems and that their function is no longer at ease, well, then you've got a patient for life. I don't even know how you can look at the hottest topic these days. We just finished a total solution this week, and it was full of younger doctors, and we had them put their hands up and say, what is your passion and where do you see the greatest opportunity in practice moving forward? And like 12 hands shot up, and the very first thing that they said was pediatrics and family. I can't wait to change my community. Look, Mike, how do you build a pediatric practice with palpation and x-ray? It's almost impossible.
Well, it is impossible. I mean, you cannot be doing orthopedics on a 1-year-old. You cannot, you know, be taking x-rays. I know some doctors suggest you put the baby on the lap. I don't take spinal images till kids are usually about 5. You really have nothing other than palpation. But, you know, what's more important than that is legitimizing this and validating this in the eyes of a parent. A parent, first of all, who's hesitant, you know, to bring their child to you. So you've got to use what I call both logic, research-based equipment, and in the emotional, the aspect of it. And, you know, just to give you an idea, Dave, we had a mom. She was ready to get the tubes put into her 5-year-old's ear. And I said, listen, I said, why don't you bring him in? Let's do a scan on him. And I said, typically with the kids that have any sort of chronic ear infections, we're going to find subluxations. And in neurological patterns, nerve stress at the base of the skull. Sure enough, there it was. And she just became a believer, canceled the surgery, and got her son under care. So I think, you know, this is why, if not just for the adult population, if you want to build a pediatric practice, you've got that behind you.
Well, we take this extremely seriously, and I actually had, you know, the hot ticket these days in pediatrics is listening to Tony Ebel, and so we actually had Tony Ebel build a preset protocol in our next software. It's in the software launch that is out there right now. And there's actually a preset, which are some of the most important levels under which you set your thermal scanner so that it prompts you to scan these regions. But, you know, I love that story about the mom that came in. I mean, before we used to have it, everybody was aware that if you adjusted a baby, their colic went away. Or if you adjusted babies and children consistently, their ear infections would ease open and you know, they'd have a better immune response. And we all knew that was occurring, but for the first time, we had the opportunity to show them why it was occurring. So there's the validation. And we could show them with autistic children that after an adjustment, and with the thermal, it's so versatile now that you actually can do pre-post. And so I actually have my mic set up for C2, C1 when my autistic kids come in. And I actually take the pre-scan. It takes me 2 minutes. I mean, we do 20 patients an hour, so it's not like I've got a lot of time. My staff run in. They do a shot of the upper cervical C2, C1. I go. I adjust. I actually do the shot myself, so I don't have to waste the time with the patient or otherwise. I go in, click, click, and it's done, and I show the parent, now they're clear. Now their nervous system is filtering. Let's keep doing. And so, you know, this is what chiropractic has loved and needed, and now, as they grow past that pre-post, we now start building a folio for them that shows them that there is a lifetime of watching involved. And can I let you in on a little secret with the core score, Mike?
Absolutely. You're sort of like, I'm all ears.
After the first thing. So to your listeners, when I invested in CLA, and it really was an investiture, and Mike, you and I talked in the very earliest days about, you know, what we were about to step into, I invested a lot of my own personal time and cash into this, and the very first thing we did is we placed it, the data that was being collected, into the cloud. So we bought a ton of great servers, we rewrote a ton of great software, and it means that we are now connected with so long as people are signed up with us, with every client in our 40 countries that we serve. And Mike, you wouldn't know this, but we have over 250,000 scans in our system right now, which means that we have the largest repository of clinical-based data that we can start looking back on. And so I've had my guys start to peel, you know, because we can do pre-post and we can start to look at the demographics of what's going on. And we've been peeling back some of the scores that are showing. And I'm going to let you in on an amazing secret that we found. And it's very simply this, and so it's a score based on 100, and it's a blend and a weighted blend between HRV, thermal, and EMG. And what we know is that the HRV gives you this global sense of what kind of stress the person has learned to live with. The EMG tells you how that person's spine is set up to move and function in gravity. And the thermal shows you if it's really getting down into the dirty stuff, into the end organs. So it's a beautiful combination, and when we put it all together, Mike, we found out that you could, at the score of 80, start to actually hold your adjustments. Meaning, in the lower than 80, we started to see that there would be drift. You know, the patient would come in, feel good, but it might drop down a bit because of these interplays between the three scans. But once they trip the switches and got it over 80, it seems that they actually stay over 80. So it appears that there's this true thing that we've been searching for, the holy grail of what we've been searching for, which is that line that says, you truly are well. Because once they hold at a high neural efficiency level, it means that their body is actually preparing and taking care of itself instead of fighting itself. It's pretty cool.
How sweet is that? How sweet is that? Now, in all of your aggregate reporting that you've seen, Dave, have you seen anything else with regards to, I guess, lifestyle changes in patients? Are you seeing any reporting or anything else versus the new patient coming in?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, this is where it gets really exciting, Mike, because what they do is that you start to build these consistent, as I said, core scores in a folio. So typically what happens is that when a patient starts to get adjusted but doesn't change their lifestyle, their EMGs and at times their thermals will really start to improve, but they'll be held back because their HRVs, which means their lifestyle strategies, aren't really changing. Sure, as we said, the Zhang study says that HRV changes, but you can really ramp it up if you get that buy-in by the patient. So listen to this. Now that we know that 80 threshold, we say to our patients, look, the very first goal we have is to find if you can start to shift, but the real goal is that we need to get you up to 80. So, you know, it might be that we're going to keep you on a three-time-a-week basis all the way through until your body shows us that they can get to 80 and hold at 80 for two scans at least. And so now these authentic care plans talking about are not just the plan canned ham up 3, 2, 1 out the door. They really are based upon a rational approach that says the purpose of the adjustment is to help you feel better but to unwind the tension. So one of the things that we see is that there's these new thresholds that are being built that say, you know what, first and foremost, let's say they're in the 50s and 60s, Mike, and you know we see those people all the time. They're really not well. And, you know, our first goal is to see that you can move it up to 70. And we keep our patients in our practices on 3 times a week until they can prove to 70. As they get to 70, we move them twice a week until they can hold to 80. And you can see the progression once a week after that. It now
and that's what I love about the core score. It goes from challenge to transitional. So it's like we're crossing the bridge to good and excellent, right?
Yes, and you know, I'm so glad you picked it up because it's not about some Pollyanna, you'll be great, you know, it's about, hey, you're strictly scoring in a transitional way, you have work to do. And you know, those are huge points because wellness isn't something you buy easily, you have to work at it. But that's a great thing, and that's why the PVA goes up. And these patients, when they get it, I mean, it might sound like it's laborious. Here's a report of findings. You know, this is what it sounds like, Mike. You walk in with a core score and you say, this is the most important number that any health practitioner could show you because before your other organ systems and body systems break down, your body will not have been able to keep up with the stresses in your life. So you scored 53 out of a possible 100. That concerns me because it means you're very susceptible to stress. Our first goal is to see if we can get you out of your pain and discomfort as we move this score higher. So we're going to be putting you on blocks of 12 visits of care, watching you every step of the way. I anticipate that somewhere between 12 weeks and 20 weeks from now, we'll have you at least in the 70s. That's what it sounds like.
And, you know, here's what I've discovered, Dave, in 22 years of practice and for the number of years I've been using Substation and Core Score, and for the doctors listening, the biggest challenge you're going to have is getting them through that first window. You know, Dave mentioned about 6 months of care or 12 months. If you can get them through that first window and you can use objective criteria, you know, a lot of doctors that are using the insight, a lot of doctors using a corrective care, structural changes, you start to see lifestyle changes with these people. And I'm not talking about the aches and pains. I'm talking better sleep, better immune system, less colds and flus, better mental acuity. The list goes on and on. Now, this is where we've gotten to this point, and I like what you're talking about, the sort of we're at the level of good and excellent and that mark of 80. Now people want to maintain that. And that, I think, is the key here is now this is true wellness from a structural neurological model where people say, I want to keep this. And now you take them to the next level with your other three dimensions in a four-dimensional model.
Yeah, it's really a commitment on your side, and they pick it up. You know, they realize that they're not going to some, you know, casual observer of back pain. You know, I graduated a number of years ahead of you, But at the same time, you know, we still worked in the same area in Southern Ontario here while you were here. And the realities are that much of the CMCC graduation that would come out and much of the sort of practicing chiropractors around me, they're pretty knowledgeable. They know a lot of what we're talking about. And you know, they're really well tuned to this. But because they have this lack of confidence of identifying a subluxation, looking at the deeper issues that go on, they sell themselves and they sell their practice model short. And it's not about trying to convince a patient through some colors and whatever else. Those are the old days. You know, this is not a marketing tool, although I can tell you how to market with it. But when you're with a patient, this is an honesty moment, and this is where you say, I really do care that you feel better, but I care more that your body has learned how to heal itself. It can't do that when it's in a transitional stage. It needs to move up. And will you work with me? You know, I can only do as much as I can do with these adjustments, and they're super powerful, but I need to work with you to get this going. And, you know, Christopher Kent, who is one of my great mentors, reminded me that when you start to actually look at the neuroplasticity in a nervous system that had in the three dimensions of the nervous system, the sensory, the autonomic, and the motor, when they start to go through this healing stage, they have to rehabituate. They have to change their habits. And he always said to me that when you get into a neurofunctional model, it's a 12 to 18 month window of care that the patient has to go through for that to be a true healing at the neurological level. And even if I hope I say that to our listeners and they hear that, the real key to this whole thing is that's just the truth. So you're not making it up anymore. You know, there is no hard, fast line on neuroplasticity. You can Google it in, you can look it, you can read on the textbooks like I've seen. It comes down to two very simple principles, Mike: time and repetition. That's how you have a neuroplastic response. It takes time, 12 to 18 months. But, you know, that's a guess, so why don't you use a tool like the core score to see that they get over 80. When they get over 80, they're in a highly neuroplastic state. Sounds pretty
easy. And I think that's absolutely critical because, you know, when we're validating, in a sense, long-term care, it's not just structural, which can take 12 months, but it's also the neuroplasticity, which is 12 to 18 months. And that goes way beyond, you know, the limited scope practitioner, which is working on that 10% of the nervous system, and less the other 90%. And to me, I personally, this is my own personal opinion, Dave, it's almost negligent to leave a person out of pain when there's still so much more that they could be doing for the spine and nervous system. And, you know, for the person's, that patient's overall sense of health and well-being.
Yeah, and Mike, I really want to step in and you know, say that from my experience, and I'm a 35-year practitioner, I you know, learned the power of the adjustment very early on in practice, but I used all the tools that I could to be a better practitioner for that patient. Because, you know, the reflection of being a great practitioner wasn't so I could, you know, we all did very well, but it wasn't to do well, it was to make sure that we did it the right way. And, you know, of course, besides the fact I have these neurofunctional tests, I use X-ray. Of course I do. I'm a chiropractor. I'm looking at the structure. And the way you tie X-ray together and the way you tie scans together is, and the patient appreciates this so much, is to say, listen, once the nervous system has lost its way and once it's fighting itself and losing these scores, even the hardest tissues of your body and your postures will break down. So now we have at least two ways of observing and watching how the healing of your most important system, your spinal cord, is coming along. I would never hold back to try and determine what was best for my patient. So those two reads give me an idea of how the healing is coming, and I use the term, it's the intersection between biomechanics and neurofunctional. That's what the insight does. It helps us understand which way to go.
Dave, we've spoken for about 37 minutes. What I want to do is I want to open up the lines. I've got a number of doctors on. Many of them are using the Insight. I'm sure a lot of them are looking at getting an Insight. So before we open it up for Q&A, Dave, how can they either find more about, you know, the Insight? I mean, we have subluxation.com, which is your website. Do they have contact information if they have a question for you, Dave?
Yeah, well, there's two ways, and I think the easiest is, first off, you can always reach me. My name is David. My email is dfletcher, D-F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, at subluxation.com. And if that was something that you just didn't resonate with, just put info at subluxation, I-N-F-O, at subluxation.com. And either Brock, who is supposed to be on the call with me, or myself, we will get back to you, and we will either answer your questions or direct you to somebody who can support you. You know, I love the URL, subluxation.com, and I always remind myself, I sure hope I don't have to spell that for chiropractors.
You never know. Hey, so the lines are open. I know a lot of, I always get these questions about the substation. A lot of doctors ask me over the last number of years that I've been coaching and using it. I use it every day. I'm a clinic director in Dr. Shreen Van Wagner's practice. I train the front. I do exams. I do the doctor's report. I talk about the core score. I close. I build, and that's what I do. But the doctors who are on the line tonight with us, you have a question for Dr. David Fletcher. Now's your chance to ask. The lines are open. So just say your name, where you practice, and you can pose your question. So who's our first caller? Drinking from the fire hose. Come on, guys. Yeah, who's this?
Yeah, this is Martin speaking from Montreal area. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Martin. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so I was this past weekend in Montreal. We had a health show, and so what we did some, actually it was a spinal screening that we did, and actually Marc-André Boivin, that is a member of yours, he was doing the scan, so and it was good for him. Would you say that doing a scan as of today, since the technology is improving or has been a thing more places in our practices, would that be the best shot to go at, using thermography instead of using the postural screening?
Yeah, I do.
Just for Mike, go ahead, Dave. I'll let you answer that first.
Well, and listen, Mike, I think that if anybody can reply to what value there is in screenings, it's you in Canada. But, and I say that kind of smiling, but, I think it's really important to know that there is a versatility. You can use both EMG and thermal in a screening, not together, but you can use either or. The thermal is really nice because it is very, very easy and very versatile, especially now that it is the wireless version. You can just keep it really nicely charged. And the whole intent of it is to demonstrate that stress is in a person's system. So if you're using the EMG, it's highly visual. It shows the asymmetry in the muscles that are firing, and you can build a story from the spine to the nerves when you're using EMG. If you're more inclined to be looking at, say, a children's health environment or otherwise, many times it's easier just to run a thermal scan, and you typically start at T2 and move your way upwards, and it's about 8 seconds, 9 seconds to do, and it happens very quickly, and you've got that instantaneous rapport with the patient that says, this is a scanner that's designed to look at whether or not the nervous system is balanced. It looks at temperature, and temperature is very necessary to understand to see if the nervous system is balanced. These are the nerves that go to the glands of the head, neck, and throat. Ah, there's nerve pressure here. You should see a chiropractor. That's how we put it out, Mike. We would not use HRV, just to clear that up, in a scanning setting.
I'm going to recommend any of your outside engagements, whether it's a dinner workshop, whether it's a screening, whether it's the close of a doctor's report. I'm always big on using the thermal with posture, and I've done these over the years. I've done my own split tests with and without, and I've discovered that you either use some sort of posture machine. One of the things I'm an advocate now of is the posture mobile screening app that you can get for your tablet. You take the picture, you show the posture, but here's the key, guys. If you want to be successful with the screenings, it's very simple. You pre-frame a subluxation, you show posture, you then correlate that to the scan and how it relates to body signals. And if you know the proper close, you'll get 50% of those people that you scan in for a checkup. So it's a very, very easy thing to do. People like Marc-André Boivin, he is a master. He's perfected the system that we teach it, and this is why he'll walk away with 40, 50, if not more, people from a screening and how he does so well in the system. So it is valuable to use the two to really answer your question, Martin.
All right. Thank you, Mike. And thank you to Dave.
All right. Fantastic. Next caller, who's got a question for Dr. Fletcher? And Martin, you can always jump back in if you have another question. So where are you from, Doc, and what is your question for Dr. Dave?
Yeah, as far as, in the office, this is still me speaking, actually. We got our staff, doing the scanning and the EMGs at the office, and they're going through the giving some explanations about those, and I get the chance to look at it once it's being transferred on my on the patient's file, which is within the computer. So would that be the good way to proceed? Doing in two parts like that, or just doing an overview, or is it best to? I know there's a script with the CLA, where you go through all the script, and is it a good thing to just go really through that script and to just nail it, or we can kind of just go over the basics information. What is best recommended as far as that?
Well, I'll say that, everybody always says, so say that again, Dr. Fletcher, and it's like, I don't think I've ever said it twice the same way. I'm not sure that scripts are, they're there, they're templates, they allow us to keep on track. I think you have to be very relatable to the patient. I will say, Mike, and I know I learned this from you a lot, is that brevity is brilliant. If you can cut it short and not bring the patient, into the world of decision making about what you're saying. More importantly, they're looking at the results and saying, "I get it. I need to clear these results." I think that you can do it very quickly. I mean, here's the bottom line. If you have a very skilled staff person, and they have learned how to scan, but learned how to pre-frame what you want out of the relationship, and they then hand off to you, and give the doctor the time. It becomes very, very simple, especially with the core score or looking at the other ones, that you talk about the different impact that these pressure patterns, these tension patterns have on the nerves, and you just build it out very quickly for them. So I guess what I'm really trying to say is if the scripts that we have in place match that sort of speed and match that opportunity, and it helps you feel that it's there, learn them and then adapt them to be exactly what you want. And then dance with every patient as if it's the authentic scan, the authentic report comes from your certainty as to what you're going to deliver and your certainty as to what you're watching there.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, let's take another question. We have a little bit more time. Where are you from, Doc, and what's your question for Dr. Dave? I got a quiet group tonight. Must be information overload. Dave, let's just, maybe just in closing remarks, I'm just going to share this with you. This is one of my stories is a number of years ago, this goes way back, I had a coach that he wasn't a fan of the substation. I'm not going to say who he is, but he got me and convinced me to take it out of my practice. So we shut it down and something really weird happened. I saw my conversions, my retention, my income, my volume started to just a tank. And after about 3 months, I realized that the one variable I had changed was the insight, and I put it back in, and I hold on to that thing like a security blanket. It's always with me at screenings, talks, dinner workshops, in my office. I don't leave home without it. It's like the MasterCard. So, one of the things I can honestly say, Dave, and I'm just saying this as a fan of the insight, is that I've always used it, and to me, it's not just a practice builder, but it's also a practice validator in the eyes of a public that might be a little sort of leery of chiropractic. When you have something that's research-based, that's objective, and it goes beyond their concept of pain and what health is, this is a tool that I believe every chiropractor should have. And I know it's in thousands of clinics, but for the doctors who are sitting on the fence, we had two of them. We had one in my practice, and we had one that we used outside at screenings and talks and things like that. You're crazy not to have a substation, because these things will will, you know, pay for themselves very quickly, but it's a long-term effect you're going to have on your practice and the lives that you're taking care of as well.
Well, you know, Mike, and I thank you for that setup. You know what's interesting? When we surveyed our clients, and this is about a three-year-old study, when we surveyed our clients and asked them their pre- and post-statistics, it became apparent that before, pre-meaning before they used the Insight and post as they started, their PVA jumped seven by the factor of 17, meaning that they have 17 more visits per case. And, you know, it doesn't take long to realize that it, not only does it improve the retention, but it jacks up the referral. Because the minute that you start to have a non-pain-based model, you can go to a mother and say, see, you know, this child has it. If they have a nervous system, let me scan them and let me look at them. And there's that sense of family-based growth. It really helps the referral model because of that certainty you talked about. But I think at the end of the day, Mike, the greatest thing that the Insight does, which is what you said, and you actually use the term security blanket, which I think is very funny. I think that what you do is that you build a certainty in yourself that says no. I am certain that I am getting the job done. I am certain I am the chiropractor for you and the chiropractic is for you when you start to recognize the power of looking at the functional nervous system.
So I love it. It's a certainty blanket, not just security, but certainty blanket too. Fantastic. All right, Dave, one last time for them if they want to get hold of you, your email and website.
Yeah, so subluxation.com is the website, and our and you can obviously get any contacts that you need there if you want to talk to a live person immediately. But if you want to set up a dialogue and get to know us, Brock or myself will get back to you. It's info@subluxation.com or myself, dfletcher@subluxation.com. And anybody, Mike, is welcome to open up a conversation or dialogue. We're always ready to support both yourself and the vision of chiropractic.
Beautiful. Thanks, Dave, for being on the Master Call tonight, as always. I love and appreciate what you do, what you stand for, and, you know, keep up what you're doing because the profession needs leaders like you, you know, to take this profession to the next level. So, docs, thanks for being on tonight. Until our next Power Talk, Master Talk, CA Call, or UAC Group, keep practicing with passion. We'll talk to you all soon.